Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and hopefully we're going to have William Grieg with us this hour. William, are you there? All right, well, if we don't have William, then why don't we just start talking about what's going on in the Near East and the Middle East. And those of you who remember, I've told you in the past that the Israeli government, Barak, who is the defense minister, had sent his soldiers out to collect the gas masks from Israeli citizens. Of course, the idea was they were going to refurbish them and make sure they worked fine. But if the Israeli citizens didn't want to give them up, they were simply taken away from them by soldiers there at their door, literally at bayonet point. And so the Israeli citizens dutifully turned in their gas masks, assuming that if there was a real danger, they'd get the gas masks back. But they didn't understand that now there's a very real threat of chemical and biological warfare being waged against them. Now Barak refuses to give the Israeli citizens back their gas masks, and they just can't get them any place, and they have no protection for themselves and their families, and they don't understand why. And Barak says, oh, well, the reason we won't give back the gas masks is we don't want the Syrians to think we're going to war with them, and we don't want them to feel uneasy. And so we feel that if the Israeli citizens had gas masks to defend themselves against the chemical and biological weapons that the Syrians are developing, and they are developing them, and they are prepared to use them to kill millions of Israelis. But, of course, we wouldn't want the Syrians to feel uneasy, would we? Sort of like during the Cold War when they refused to have any defense for America, but the Russians had defense for the Russian citizens, but our leaders specifically did not allow the defense and protection for the American citizens. Now, remember, the elite always look after themselves, and they have their bunkers and stocked and with food and supplies and medical supplies and gas masks and all those things, but not for us common people. Well, what really brought this to mind was recently I went up on the Internet just looking for gas masks, and I found a website there, and it told you what's wrong with all the gas masks that are readily available that you could go out and buy if you really wanted to. Of course, everybody trying to discourage you, but they told you that every type of gas mask was terrible. Oh, the Israeli gas masks are terrible. The Russian gas masks are terrible. The Belgian gas masks are terrible. The French gas masks are terrible. They're all being sold by charlatans. No, none of the gas masks out there are any good. And, you know, I'm reading this website up on the Internet, and I'm saying, why are they doing this? I mean, what are they selling? Are they selling gas masks? No. You know, what they're doing is trying to discourage the American people from having any protection against chemical and biological warfare. Now, let me tell you the truth of the matter. You've heard from so many times that Saddam Hussein didn't have any chemical or biological warfare agents, so that just isn't true. The United States had given him both chemical and biological warfare agents, had given him the wherewithal to build those agents, and it helped him at every turn. In fact, I've even interviewed a Green Beret who was over there helping the Iraqis use their chemical warfare agents against the Iranians, and total violation of every rule of warfare in the Geneva Convention, but we were helping him. Now, the weapons that Saddam had, they transferred to Syria, and we have that from a number of sources, certainly Dor Gold. The Israeli ambassador to the UN told me that, and we have it from a number of reliable sources. So all those chemical and biological weapons are in Syria, and of course they're being put on warheads in preparation for striking Israel, and the Israeli government is doing everything to leave the people of Israel vulnerable. Now, why would they do something like that, and why don't we have defenses here?
Through the the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
The digestive tract, a natural waste factory built within all of our bodies. Roughly 25 feet of tunnels designed to absorb nutrition and then dispel the waste. But what happens when the waste gets clogged up? More than 4 million Americans have frequent constipation, accounting for 2.5 million physician visits a year. Now there's AlloCleanse, an all-natural formula based on herbs and safe enzymes. AlloCleanse gently sweeps the entire digestive tract and supports comfortable, regular bathroom habits. You'll feel lighter, and you'll feel clean inside. And when you remove the waste buildup with AlloCleanse, you'll have more energy. Energy to use on other things, besides worrying about constipation.
For a risk-free trial of AlloCleanse, call 1-800-890-3525. Call in now to find out how you can get two free gifts with your order. Try AlloCleanse risk-free by calling 1-800-890-3525. That's 1-800-890-3525.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN news bulletin. Honeybees are now mysteriously vanishing at an astonishing pace across the entire country. Why is this urgent message about honeybees so desperately important? The answer is easy. You see, honeybees produce a unique compound, fed only to the queen, that makes her live 6 times longer than other bees in the hive. Some researchers now believe the compound may have miraculous effects on humans as well. The compound is called Royal Jelly, and is now available in an all-new, ultra-purified form called Jellicene Gold. The product has been designed for purity conscious Americans who are concerned about contaminated royal jelly entering the U.S. from Asia. Solutions from Science is the only company authorized to sell Jellicene Gold in the U.S. They believe it to be the purest, most potent, and safest form of royal jelly in the world. GCN listeners can now purchase this product wholesale on the Solutions website without paying anything today. Visit the Safer Jelly website right now. That's saferjelly.com. Saferjelly.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365.
Well, that's Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, we have our on the line William Grigg. Hi, William, how are you?
Dr. Stan, it's good to be with you again.
Well, it's always good to have you here. And now, remember, this is a different audience, so you can talk about whatever you want to. If you want to talk about what we talked about before, or if you want to talk about something else, it's really up to you.
Well, I'm sure that we're going to end up talking about at least some of what we've discussed previously involving the degeneration of our republic into a police state, but something I think is worthy of immediate remark here is the dramatic and, within the lifetime of many of your listeners, unprecedented situation where the Canadian loonie is worth more than the U.S. dollar. That's something that hasn't happened for 31 years, and that's of immense significance for a couple of reasons. This has to do with the fact that we have in Washington something really unique in history, and that is a mendicant empire, an empire that basically subsists on charity, handouts from others to prop it up in terms of the huge debts that are run up in the course of this imperial foreign policy and the concomitant imperial domestic policy, the police state. But Canada is a country that is immensely resource-rich. They have a socialist government. In many ways, it's somewhat socialist than our own, somewhat more socialist than our own, rather. But they are, if I'm not mistaken, probably our biggest and most important trading partner. We import more energy from Canada than we do from the Middle East, whether you're talking about finished petroleum or whether you're talking about natural gas. That's one of the reasons why Canada has been looked upon with a great deal of curiosity and interest by China. They've been buying up a lot of the tar sands in Western Canada, and also investing in a lot of the precious metals and energy infrastructure in that country. We also import a lot of wheat and other agricultural products from Canada, which is utterly bizarre, because we were the breadbasket of the world until really quite recently, where there's no reason at all why, in a country that is simply overgrown with grain, we should be importing anything of that sort, yet we import a lot of our wheat from Canada. And now that the dollar, in the course of its inexorable decline, has fallen below parity with the Canadian currency, the so-called loonie, everything we import from Canada is going to be more expensive. And the fact that we import food and energy from Canada is going to show up quite soon in our grocery bills, our heating bills, and everything else that we pay for that's transported with energy. And that's something that I think is finally going to catch the attention of people who've been somewhat torpid and complacent about what's going on in the economy. The decline of the dollar, the world historic erosion of the world's reserve currency, this fiat currency called the dollar, is something that has huge implications for the United States and for most of the world economy. A lot of people hadn't paid attention until the recent problems developed of subprime sector in the mortgage and housing industry, but when suddenly you see a price spike in the foodstuffs that we eat and the energy that we have to use to heat our homes and to fuel our cars, that should get people's attention.
And I think one of the most important things is to realize that the Canadian dollar is not rising in value. The American dollar is declining in value, and this is really the crux of the whole situation. And certainly we're finding that more and more countries, Venezuela, Iran, certain of the Arab countries, are simply turning away from the American dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And all we need is a couple of other countries to do that. And there will be a stampede out of the dollars, at which point all of those dollars, which are all throughout the world, $3 trillion or more, will come flooding back to into America, buying up our industries, buying up our land, buying up our toll roads, buying up everything in America, and one day we will awake, and we will be serfs in our own country.
That's something we were warned about a few years ago, is the concept that eventually we could end up being sharecroppers in our own country. And with respect to the buyout of tangible assets or investment assets, there's another story which was in the news today that has immediate relevance to that, and that is the fact that Dubai, one of the United Arab Emirates, is buying up a huge chunk of the trading exchange. And that's something that illustrates the point that you're just making, Dr. Stan, with respect to the fact that those dollars are going to have to come back, and they're going to have to be lodged somewhere. And most likely what's going to happen is that rather than keeping the dollars, the foreign investors who've been underwriting our government's imperial foreign policy are going to be looking for something tangible they can use, whether you're talking about American infrastructure or investment capital or anything of this variety. And with respect to Canada's economy, it's worth pointing out, and I really appreciate the fact you pointed out that the loonie is not gaining in value, the dollar is losing value. The loonie is another fiat currency. As a matter of fact, Canada, five or six years ago, sold off most of its gold reserves, which seems like a really foolish thing to do. I mean, you don't want to be selling off gold reserves when gold's growing more precious. You want to keep it because that's an appreciating asset. But they sold off most of their remaining gold reserves. In terms of their productivity, their GNP, their overall health of their industrial sector, Canada is a very small player in all those respects. But they're still doing better than we are in terms of the health of their currency. And these are really important flashing red lights, if you will, on the monitor screen that we have to be paying attention to in terms of our economic health or lack thereof.
And I think that really what's happening financially really is the beginning of the end of the dominance of the American dollar. And I'm not certain there's much of anything that our leaders can do about it. If they lower the interest rates, they destroy the dollar. If they raise the interest rates, why, they destroy the economy. They don't have any good place to go. That's the problem.
No, they really don't. They basically have the choice of the pit or the pendulum, and that, of course, is true for the rest of us as well, because if you reduce the interest rates, then obviously the people who are holding the notes they have bought in order to subsidize our government's programs, both foreign and domestic, they're not going to be interested in buying them because they're not going to get a return. They'll start dumping them. They raise the interest rates, they'll really annoy the, or actually drive into penury the voters. And so I suspect that what's going to happen is that we're going to end up getting some kind of an equivocal combination of both at various times, and nobody will be happy. And you talked about the fact that it only takes a couple more countries to get out of the dollar in order to start a stampede. The really important country to watch is Saudi Arabia. A lot of people whose opinions I respect, because they know much more about this subject than I will ever learn, believe that the only reason why the dollar has any economic credibility at all is the fact that Saudi Arabia charges or conducts its petroleum transactions in the dollar. They take the dollar in exchange for oil. So really, in a sense, the dollar is backed by Saudi Arabian oil. That was part of a deal that was worked out about 30 years ago by Henry Kissinger and that group. And in exchange, the Saudis get all kinds of wonderful military technology that they lavish upon people, such as, for instance, the Sunni guerrillas who are shooting at U.S. troops in Iraq, and also on people like the former subcontractor for the United States government known as Osama bin Laden and his little club that we refer to as Al-Qaeda. But that's part of what's called the petrodollar pact, and that's what's kept the dollar afloat, according to many people, once again, who study this more deeply than I have. Just this last week, when the Federal Reserve announced that quarter point cut in the prime rate, the Saudis refused to go along. They apparently have decided to decouple from the dollar peg in terms of their own economy. And that sent a message to the rest of the petro oligarchies in the region, and also to everybody else who's invested in the dollar. That is, that the dollar is starting to lose whatever remaining credibility it had in the eyes of the Saudis. And the Saudis were chiefly responsible for propping it up. Basically, the Saudis, the Chinese, the Japanese are the ones who are keeping the dollar afloat. Japan, just a few weeks ago, one of its major oil companies decided to go along with Iran's demand that it pay in some currency other than the dollar for Iranian oil, and so now they're paying for Iranian oil in yen. That was another really important vote against the economic credibility of the dollar. And so you have two of those countries, two of those key countries that have already indicated some equivocal disfavor with the dollar, and there are reports out of the British financial press that China, which is the third of these three key countries, has started slowly and quietly to dump its dollar-denominated securities, which would help explain what's been going on in terms of this growing avalanche as the debt bubble starts to collapse, is that people are suddenly becoming really leery about having their assets tied up in this radically depreciating so-called asset called the dollar. And you've had bank runs occur just in the last week over in Great Britain that very easily could skip across the Atlantic, given the fact that the banking systems of the United States and Great Britain are intimately connected. There has been some talk about the possibility of bank runs in not only Japan, but also in Europe. Throughout the Eurozone, you have some major banks that are becoming rather unsteady. There are a couple of major Spanish banks, for instance, that have turned to the European Central Bank for bailouts. These kinds of things tend to reinforce each other, and problems of this sort start to exponentiate. And so I suspect that this October is always a very brutal month for the stock market, for the economy, because that's when accounting finally has to be made and some sense of reality finally descends on the investment community. Well, I think in the next couple of weeks it's going to be really interesting.
I think it was really very, very pointed for those who saw the 60-minute interview with Leslie Stahl and Alan Greenspan last Sunday. When Leslie Stahl asked Alan Greenspan what he was going to do with the $8 million he got for writing his book, and, you know, of course, that's a lot of money, and she said, you know, are you going to put the, what currency are you going to put it into? And, of course, his response was, well, you know, I could put it into any currency because immediately I could change it to another, but if the real question is, what currency am I going to hold the money in, I will tell you I am going to diversify.
Wow.
And what Alan Greenspan was really saying is, I don't trust the American dollar. I'm not going to put all my money into American dollars. I'm going to spread it out to many places throughout the world, but I don't trust the American dollar, and I wonder how many people got that, the significance of what he said. Alan Greenspan's going to diversify. How many people in the listening audience are diversified? How many have $8 million to diversify? We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Is that we were the greatest country in the world, but our whole economy is built upon debt. And now, of course, we do not have the industrial capacity for shipping our manufacturing jobs overseas. But of course they say, well, but we've got tremendous incentive and imagination here. The trouble is that we're shipping our good jobs overseas or bringing in foreigners who work for far less. And if you're looking and seeing what's happening to our job picture, why, of course, the wages of the average American are really beginning to fall. Now, there's certainly the elite are doing very well, but the average American is working less. He may be working two jobs and certainly making less than he was when he had one good-paying job. And I think that we're going to see more and more people losing their homes simply because they cannot make the payments on them. I think we're going to begin to see a lot of this credit beginning simply to disappear as these collateral debt obligations, you know, begin to simply become non-performing and are being sold at 25 to 30 cents on the dollar. Will you pick the story up, William? Because I think we're in very, very serious problems financially.
I don't
think most people have any idea how bad things really are.
Yeah, I don't think that most people have any idea just how bad things are or have any concept that we're dealing with something which is unprecedented in history. There's never been an empire before that built its empire on borrowed money the way that Washington has. And there's never been a system before where you get people invested in debt the way that most Americans are today, whether you're talking about consumer debt or mortgage debt. You've got over $1 trillion at least tied up here in this housing and mortgage bubble. That's a conservative estimate. And most people have been sold on the idea that that particular kind of debt equals wealth because they've been able to trade on the equity. And through this bizarre alchemy of investment machinations, this type of debt has been treated as an asset and resold and resold, and people have made a very handsome living off of it. You're entirely correct when you talk about the fact that the financial elite is doing very well right now. They're going to do well with the decline in the dollar's value because they're going to be able to sell a lot more of what they merchant, what they market overseas. At least that's the anticipation. I don't know if that will plan out, but typically that's what happens. People will be able to buy whatever it is that we produce. We don't produce a whole lot anymore, quite frankly. But whatever we produce would be a bargain as the value of the dollar goes down. The problem is, of course, that the value of the dollars that we earn will go down, and that'll make it more difficult for us to buy what we import, which is practically everything. I think it's interesting that Walmart now has changed its marketing slogan. You probably picked up on that. It's now no longer always low prices, always. It's save more, live better. I think the assumption is that Walmart is suddenly going to become less of a bargain to people because almost everything there is produced in China or elsewhere abroad. And as the value of the dollar plummets, obviously the price of what you buy at Walmart, which is most everything for many people, is going to go up. And so there's this implicit promise that at least they'll do something to try to keep the prices down in relative terms, but you're going to be paying more at Walmart, which is a really unusual state of affairs. I wanted to key on something that you said just before the break about that interview on 60 Minutes with former Fed Commissar Alan Greenspan. I didn't happen to see that interview. I've been busy with other things. And it's really interesting that Leslie Stahl actually committed an act of journalism by asking him a pointed question about the dollar, to wit, what is he going to do with his royalties and book advance for buying, or for rather writing his memoir? What is he going to do in terms of where he's going to keep it? He said to diversify out of the dollar. It makes me think of the type of ambivalent endorsement you would perceive if somebody who ran a very high-priced restaurant were asked if he would ever eat there, and he'd say, well, maybe sometimes, but usually I wouldn't. You know, if you have somebody who owns a restaurant not having sufficient confidence to eat there, you'd say, well, obviously this must not be a very good place to take my family or a very good place to take my wife or my loved one for a romantic dinner. You probably wouldn't seek the services of a faith healer who has a limp. It's the same kind of a deal where this guy who presided over the health of the dollar for how many years?
18 years.
Said, well, I did such a good job of my stewardship over the value of the dollar that now that I've made $8 million to sell myself exculpatory memoir, I'm going to diversify out of the dollar. It'd be interesting to find out if he diversifies into hard assets back in the 1960s, back when he was something of a ranting objectivist. Mr. Greenspan preached the gospel of hard money, meaning money that was based on a precious commodity, gold or silver. And I'd be willing to bet that he's probably going to be investing in gold and silver. That's a very good thing to do right now.
Hang on. We'll be right back in just a moment with William Gregg.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645. Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Hey, Jack Blood here. I think that if we could see the germs and potential biohazards all around us in our daily surroundings, we would turn into Howard Hughes. We try not to think about it primarily because we might think there's nothing we can do about it. Not so fast. Now there is a solution. I'm talking about Hazarid Complete Protection Kits, available now at Hazarid.com. This is the single solution that is tame enough to safely conquer everyday household and business cleaning chores, yet strong enough to decontaminate biological hazards. Hazarid fights infectious disease and unsurpassed odor, mold, and allergens. This is an amazing state-of-the-art disinfectant with a no-questions-asked guarantee. Safe for kids and pets and indispensable for your home, car, or business. Wherever you go, take Hazarid with you. Call them now to order 800-675-0323. That's 800-675-0323 or go to the web www.hazarid.com. Hazarid, Hazarid.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
The digestive tract, a natural waste factory built within all of our bodies. Roughly 25 feet of tunnels designed to absorb nutrition and then dispel the waste. But what happens when the waste gets clogged up? More than 4 million Americans have frequent constipation, accounting for 2.5 million physician visits a year. Now there's AlloCleanse, an all-natural formula based on herbs and safe enzymes. AlloCleanse gently sweeps the entire digestive tract and supports comfortable, regular bathroom habits. You'll feel lighter, and you'll feel clean inside. And when you remove the waste buildup with AlloCleanse, you'll have more energy. Energy to use on other things, besides worrying about constipation.
For a risk-free trial of AlloCleanse, call 1-800-890-3525. Call in now to find out how you can get 2 free gifts with your order. Try AlloCleanse risk-free by calling 1-800-890-3525. That's 1-800-890-3525.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly we're talking with William Gregg about what's happening financially to our nation, and certainly as we see our industries leaving the country, as we see ever more regulations here that make it more difficult to manufacture, it is a little wonder why many of our major manufacturers are moving to China and other countries where you do not have the OSHA and you do not have the Environmental Protection Agency, and you certainly don't have to pay pension funds, you don't have to pay health care. It's all taken care of by the government, and believe me, they have real quality control there, because if you're acting up and not doing a good job, why, the government will take care of you. So go right ahead, William.
Well, what you're describing here is something that I talked about in my most recent book, before the one that's going to be published in the next week or so. My most recent book was called America's Engineered Decline. And what we're seeing is not the unfolding of genuine free market capitalism, but rather, I think, a result of a conscious policy on the part of people who are seeking to re-engineer the world by obliterating the American middle class. The manufacturing jobs that we describe as being sort of the escalator into the middle class for a lot of people who didn't want to go into a technical field or didn't have the aptitude to go into some kind of communications-oriented or symbol-focused America's profession, I think is how they refer to it. People who, for instance, had a high school education and wanted to do something that would provide some financial security for a family would go into manufacturing. Those jobs, of course, once again, are disappearing, and they're reappearing in places such as China. They're being pushed offshore, as I describe and document in this book, by the cost of regulation and taxation, and also by the cost of what organized labor has been able to extract in terms of some extremely lucrative pension plans and health benefits. In a way, you have almost like privatized, socialized medicine type of an arrangement through UAW when you're talking about the American auto industry, which is being offshored very quickly. These pressures push these jobs offshore, and they're being pulled offshore at the same time by the lower wage rates that you pay in places like China. And that's a variable, of course, that's going to change, because already there are some upward pressures on wages even in China, which is a communist country where people are paid pretty much what the people who run the state tell them they're going to be paid, as opposed to going out and competing for their services. But these two factors taken together, combined with the trade policy that was created way back in the 1930s and 1940s for the express purpose of redistributing the wealth of the American economy in a more equitable way, as the people who devised this policy would have us believe. Those three things taken together explain why it is that we see the unnatural deconstruction of America's industrial economy, the deindustrialization of what had been the world's industrial colossus. Granted, after World War II, when much of Europe lay in ruins, and of course Japan had not yet industrialized and it had to be rebuilt, America did have a brief and sort of unnatural advantage in that our factories were, of course, operating at peak efficiency because of wartime mobilization. So there was a bump that we got because the rest of the world was pretty much in shambles. But immediately after World War II, there was this undertaking on the part of people like Alger Hiss. It's not well understood that Alger Hiss, the traitor in the FDR administration, who was the first Secretary General of the United Nations, he was a Soviet agent who was working on behalf of that government while, of course, taking a paycheck from the American taxpayers. Alger Hiss was the chief architect of our trade policy. He was the one who created the framework for what was supposed to be the Global Trade Organization. And that's now the World Trade Organization, which is a parallel body to the United Nations, and is actually doing its level best to level out the playing field by dragging us down and leveling people up to our level. This is called harmonization. They want to harmonize the standard of living of most of the people in the world, and that, of course, is an objective as old, at least, as the Communist Manifesto. But, you know, the great capstone of the middle American, middle-class, bourgeois lifestyle, of course, was homeownership. And one of the remarks you made in the last segment, Stan, was that a lot of people stand to lose their homes. You know, tens of thousands of people at least stand to lose their homes as they're not able to keep up with their mortgage payments, or they find themselves being put into a position where they've gone upside down with negative equity in their homes. They're just not going to be able to hold on to their homes in those circumstances. It just doesn't make any financial or economic sense. There's another way that people can lose their homes that's perfectly infuriating. I don't know if you noticed this story, but with the bankruptcy of American Home Mortgage Company, which was one of the great big mortgage lenders that announced for bankruptcy in August, there are nearly 6,000, at least 6,000 that we know of, households who stand to lose their homes because they were paying their mortgage insurance and also their property taxes through a custodial account, through an especially escrowed account that was controlled by that mortgage lender. And when they went into bankruptcy, Freddie Mac, with the Federal Mortgage Corporation that was created in, I think, the late 60s, early 70s, because Freddie Mac worked with the American Home Mortgage Company, they seized the files and the assets corresponding to this escrowed account. I don't know how they could do this. Usually, if it goes into an escrowed account for the purpose of paying these things, that's the only purpose for which that money can be used. But Freddie Mac seized those files and seized those funds, millions and millions of dollars. And so suddenly these people had been faithfully making payments on their mortgage loans, faithfully putting money into these accounts to take care of their property taxes and their mortgage insurance. They're missing their insurance payments, which means their premiums go up, assuming, of course, they can keep their mortgage insurance. And they're missing their tax payments, which means a lot of them are going to end up having their homes seized and or at least tied up with tax liens and other kinds of encumbrances. And a lot of these people, according to the Wall Street Journal, stand to lose their homes in spite of the fact that they have been diligent, responsible, thrifty, and paid their mortgage payments on time. I want to know how many situations like this are going to start pullulating across the countryside as the damage of the home mortgage sector shakes out. I suspect we're going to find a lot of that kind of thing happening because Freddie Mac is involved in probably the majority of mortgage lenders in this country.
Well, I think what's significant about this is these people, they don't have a lot of money. They paid their taxes.
Yeah.
They paid their insurance on their homes. But the trouble is that Freddie Mac or Freddie Mae stole the money. It was put into an account. They just went and took it out there because American Home owned them, the Freddie Mac, some money. And so they stole these people's money. These people don't have the money for a second to pay their taxes a second time. And so the local communities are saying, well, your taxes aren't paid. We're going to take your home. And they said, look, we paid it. And they said, sorry, we didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly when the federal government agency, and even though they're not supposed to be federal agencies, they are for all intents and purposes, has stolen their money, now these people are going to lose their homes. That is a terribly tragic situation. And who are these people going to complain to? The government?
Exactly. Well, one of the things that I'm looking out for, and I'm just definitely afraid we're going to see this, is that people caught in that situation are going to end up getting crosswise with the folks who are going to be in charge of seizing their properties for auction, which would be the local sheriff's departments. And because of what's been happening on the Homeland Security front, suddenly you have a lot of sheriff's departments and a lot of county and city police agencies that are going to be able to show up loaded for bear to start evicting these people out of their homes by armed force.
And these are people who have actually paid their taxes, paid their insurance, and yet it was stolen by the government. This is what it's all about.
Stolen by the federal government, leaving the federal government's municipal affiliates without the tax payments, and it's the local affiliates who desperately need that money because they cannot inflate in order to pay their bills the way that Washington can inflate through their allies in the Federal Reserve in order to pay their bills or get... And what's much the same thing, get foreign interest to come in and invest. Although there are municipalities now who are selling off their assets for a one-time cash infusion in order to get foreign money coming in to help pay the shortfall of their municipal expenses, whether you're talking about their infrastructure, whether you're talking about some of the other assets they can sell off in order to make their operating expenses. Some of these municipalities are looking abroad for people from other countries to come in and pick up the bill. But the fact is that the property taxes, of course, particularly when you're talking about the local schools, which are under federal mandates through the No Child Left Behind Act, let's not forget this, they're going to be very, very insistent that they get their money. Some of the people who have been left in this situation are living in counties where the tax assessor is a human being. And so he said, well, for the interim, I'll let you allow you to make partial payments, but at some point there's going to have to be an accounting. Of course, that means that these people are paying, once again, at least something on top of what they've already paid for their tax assessments. And the thing that just makes me furious here is that these innocent people are probably going to be, some of them at least, are probably going to be evicted from their homes by county sheriffs. And this is probably going to lead to bloodshed. I can easily imagine somebody who's done everything right, who has conscientiously saved his money, preserved his credit rating, bought a home, scrimped and saved and sacrificed some of the amenities that perhaps he and his family wanted in order to have a home, being put in a situation where his home is being stolen from him by the government because of something over which he had no control. I can very well imagine somebody like that getting on the top, getting on his rooftop and voting from his rooftop, as it were, with a gun. I can see that happening. You know what? He would be completely in the right to do so. It wouldn't be a prudent thing to do. It would probably end up leaving, at the very least, his family without a breadwinner. But in a tragic situation like that, what is a man supposed to do? Because there's nobody else he can turn to, and there's no other way that he's going to be able to get out of a situation apart from relying upon the decency of people in government. You might as well be trying to get blood from a stone. And so I can see where we might see that tragic scenario play out. I pray to God that we don't, but I can see it happening, and it'd be a horrible thing.
Well, you know, I think we can learn a lot about what the future holds by seeing what happened to Japan when the bubble burst, the housing bubble burst in Japan, and property values declined up to 90%.
Yeah.
And the people over there are scared to death. They're scared to, you know, go out and buy anything. They're scared to, you know, to invest in the stock market. This started in 1990, 1991, and here we are 15, 16 years later. They still can't get the economy over there going. And what are the Japanese people doing? They're saving their money. They're putting it in the banks because, of course, they think that the fiat money that they have is going to be worth something. And wait till all those trillions of dollars that have been artificially created by the Japanese government and yen, all those yen have been created, you know, for the carry trade, come flooding back into Japan and simply wipe out the money that these people have been putting aside for 15 or 16 years. You know, and the same sort of things can happen to the American people. We could have an inflationary spiral here that would simply wipe out the value of our insurance policies, of our pension funds, of our savings, of our CDs, certainly of our annuities, of everything people have spent their whole lives. And people said it could never happen here, and I would ask, why not? We certainly have been, you know, fomenting this sort of thing in other countries throughout the world. There is no incidence in all history where a nation has gone under a fiat money system where that system has survived. And remember, Alan Greenspan, who was in charge for 18 years, doesn't trust the American dollar. He's going to diversify his money. How many of you out there are diversifying your money?
Or going out and putting it into real money, meaning going out and buying gold and silver. And also, where necessary, making provision for the likely event of a severe price shock in some necessities. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to stockpile everything you need. I'm not talking about people necessarily going off the grid. There are some people who choose to do that. There might be some wisdom in that. That's not the course that I'm advocating here. What I am saying, however, is that if you're interested in preserving the value of what you made, you have to start looking at precious metals particularly. And that's something that people should have started doing a couple of years ago. When I heard that the levees had broken in New Orleans back in 2005, that's when I got into precious metals, because I said that it's very easy to see how that's going to play out in terms of our refining capacity and our energy costs. And I also knew, of course, the trajectory that the dollar was going to take. And precious metals spiked up, and then they sort of stabilized, and they're heading up again. You know, the gold's over, what, $735 an ounce? I think it closed at over $735 today. Silver is, I think, around $14, which is very modest. I mean, there's a historic range that goes up very high in silver. Silver tending to be more volatile than gold, from what experts say. But when you're talking about a country that suffers a severe depression, and that's what we're describing in the case of Japan, where their inflated property values plummeted and people have been tied up in the real estate market to the extent that that was pretty much the central pillar of that economy. You're talking about something that's a very real possibility here in the United States. Unfortunately, Ben Bernanke is of that school, that hyper-Keynesian school, that dictates that that what you have to do is you have to preserve the economy from the scourge of low prices. And so by doing so, what they want to do is they want to inflate. They want to keep pumping money into the economy in order to keep prices up. Of course, back in the Great Depression, during the reign of our first fascist president for life, FDR, you know, he died in office and took the handicap access ramp to hell. But FDR, during the New Deal, the first New Deal, had an outfit called the National Recovery Administration. They were the really evil NRA. Their symbol was the Blue Eagle, and they would send out troops of busybodies to make sure that people were not engaging in price competition. And they actually sent some poor Italian-American a shirt maker to jail because he had charged just a little bit less for his shirts than the federally mandated price. The genius of, such as it was, of the first phase of the New Deal was that, okay, if a depression is a system-wide decline in prices, we have to make sure that the prices stay up. And so they started setting prices arbitrarily for all these various consumer goods. And then, of course, what they also did was they let the government take over subsidizing all these various things and creating works programs and price support programs that exist and persist to this day, and have reproduced after their own malignant kind. And so we're in a much different economic environment than we were in during the first Great Depression. To begin with, we don't have a work ethic comparable to what existed before the first Great Depression. People are not habituated to the idea of working, saving, and then buying when you're in a position to buy. The assumption now is that you trade on the promise of future work through the use of plastic or other instruments of deferred payment. The second big... excuse me, I'm fighting a cold today. The second big difference is related to the first, and that is we have an unprecedented accumulation of consumer debt in this country. We didn't have that before the first Great Depression. And a lot of it, once again, is tied up in the one element of our economy where we're likely to see a system-wide decline in prices, that is the equity in real estate, specifically houses. People have been taking money out of their houses, which is a really interesting term of art that entered the vocabulary about 5 or 6 years ago and immediately made me rather ill to hear it. The idea being that you're trading on the anticipated value of your home. You're using your home for speculative investment rather than your home as a place to live in. And that's another big difference, is that when people owned their own homes, not many people did in relative terms back in the 1920s, but when people owned their own homes, except, of course, for the delirious investment class, they owned their homes. They didn't look at their home as a bank account. They looked at their home as a place to live and a place to, as an asset to pass on to their children, perhaps.
Well, we're going to have to let you go. We're just about out of time, but I will get your website. Why don't you hang on until after the break? We'll get your website.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm a plastic surgeon, and I see a lot of people who come to my office for facelifts and collagen injections. But I want to tell you today about a product that I developed. It's called Night Skin, and it helps your skin look younger without needles, without acid peels, and without a facelift. In 12 hours, it will make your skin seem smoother. In 12 hours, it will stimulate collagen production. And in 12 hours, it will promote elastin growth in your skin. What does this all mean? Well, this is the stuff that makes your skin firm and healthy and helps you look younger. Night Skin is real, and the results are real. And it contains only proven ingredients that work to lighten age spots, smooth the skin, and help diminish the appearance of wrinkles. It's easy, and in 12 hours, you'll see it works. Try it risk-free today.
To order Night Skin risk-free, call 1-800-894-3462. Learn how to get a free bottle by responding to this ad. Call 1-800-894-3462. That's 1-800-894-3462.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I got so involved just talking with William that I forgot to get his blog space out. So before we go, let's go ahead and get your address out and so people will know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. The easiest way to find what I write is to go to The Right Source, which is an online source for news and commentary, www.rightsourceonline.com. It's one word. www.rightsourceonline.com. Go to the front page of that news site. Scroll down about a third of the way through the page. Look at the left-hand side. You'll see my photograph. Next to my photograph are two hot links. Click on the one furthest to the right. It will take you to my daily blog, Pro Libertate. That's Latin. It's a phrase that means for freedom. It's updated between 4 and 6 times a week. And the easiest way to find that, rather than going through the trouble of using the blogger address, which is very long and difficult to remember, just go to rightsourceonline.com.
Okay, thanks very much, William.
Thank you.
I go there regularly. Fascinating material. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I really need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're on the front lines of the battle trying to warn you what the future holds. Certainly, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, and certainly help us finance the shortwave and internet, the satellite, and radio stations we're on, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand what is really happening financially, let me suggest my talk, Financial Tsunami. And it comes actually with a syllabus which explains everything that's going on today. And, of course, what you should be doing, what you must be doing if you hope to survive the coming economic turmoil, because most people are going to get wiped out just like the people of Japan have been and will continue to be impoverished. And there is a plan. There's a master plan. It's to impoverish the American people. It's known as the Earth Charter. If you'd like to get a copy of it, we'll be glad to send it to you. It's written by 3 of the most wealthy and powerful and evil people in our nation today, evil people in the world. So that's the Earth Charter. If you want a copy, why just give us a call. We'll send it to you, or go up on the internet, preferably, and look it up. That's the Earth Charter. It's the master plan for the transformation of the world and the impoverishment of the American people. And on point 10A, it calls for the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. How do you get an equitable distribution of the wealth of the United States? Why, you simply ship it out of the country. You impoverish the American people. Remember, on the 28th of October, why, we're going to be having an all-day seminar. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. And we do hope that many of you out across America can come, but you only got about a week now to get your hotel rooms at a decreased price. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay full freight. But if you're interested, if you can make it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We got a great lineup of speakers, and it's going to be a great program. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get my talk, The Forbidden Secret, and, of course, the syllabus that goes with that. And begin to understand that there are occult forces out there most people don't understand. You'll want to certainly get the DVD, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The Riddles in Stone, it's the second in the series of DVDs put forward by our good friend Chris Pinto, that goes into the occult forces that were working in America over 200 years ago and that are in total charge of America today. You'll want to get my DVD of my talk on the Iraq and the Untold Story and get the syllabus that comes with that. It has all sorts of suppressed documents and so much more. Well, anyway, of course, we ask you to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there's spiritual forces behind everything going on. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping, or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, the views for this hour of Lieutenant Colonel Craig Roberts, a good friend, who, of course, fought in Vietnam, who worked for many years with the Tulsa police force, who did a lot of investigation into the Oklahoma City bombing, has written a couple of books which we still carry and we think are very important. One is called The Medusa File. Another is called The Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. And we used to carry his book, of course, on the missing witnesses. Unfortunately, that's out of print, although it was very important. And there were well over 100 people who were affiliated with the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who, well, they just sort of all up and died there just shortly after he was assassinated. And I can assure you it was not simply an accident. Well, Colonel Roberts has always has fascinating information, and we wanted to talk to him and sort of get his update on what's going on across America today. Colonel Roberts, thank you so very much for being with us. Craig, are you there?
That's better.
All right, fine. Go right ahead.
I guess we're on the air now, huh?
You are on the air, right. You're talking to the whole world.
Well, it's always good to be back, you know. I stay busy trying to stay, you know, one step ahead of whoever's chasing me. And it's been getting interesting out there. Some of the things that we really just can't understand that's going on, it seemed to get ignored by all of the top leaders in Washington. And, you know, of course, one of the main concerns in our part of the country, and as it is in yours, is a totally wide-open southern border.
Of course, and of course, if we were really involved in a war on terrorism, why, they would have sealed it back, you know, 5-6 years ago. Obviously, they don't believe in the war on terrorism, but they want us to believe in the war on terrorism.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, you can't have a solution to the problem if you haven't got a problem, so you open the gates and you let the problems come in. And I'm not talking about people that come across to, pick apples and stuff. I'm talking about actual Islamic terrorists that come across the border all the time and bring whatever they want with them. I was talking to a sheriff on the border named Gonzalez down in Texas, and they had actually, his deputies had been on patrol, and they had come up on a farmhouse that had been abandoned for a long time because it was so close to the border the people who lived there just gave up and left. And as they came up to the farmhouse, some people ran out the back. So they went inside, and they found Islamic prayer rugs, they found a backpack, they found military patches that were written in Arabic, and I had them translated, and it turned out these guys were, or at least the patches, were from Syria. And it was a special Syrian commando unit patch. And there was a couple of those patches, and then there was a Quran, and there was some notebooks, and various articles like that. So these guys were terrorists. They were Islamic terrorists. They were in Texas. They'd come out across the border from Mexico without being caught, and they were inside the country and were evidently going to go on from there. Well, that's just one example. This stuff happens all the time now, and we don't hardly ever hear about it. And then when our border agents, of course, try to stop this, then they get in trouble.
And, of course, it really doesn't make sense unless this whole thing is being encouraged by the people in Washington, D.C. And, you know, what really bothers me is if we get into a war with Iran and Syria, and I think it's only a matter, really, of weeks or months at the most, I believe that those commando units are here. I believe that they have assignments, and they're ready to carry them out. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I'm sure they're, you know, before the right after the Gulf War, before the Oklahoma City bombing, Bush and later Clinton allowed these 3,500 to 5,000 Iraqi POWs that had surrendered to us, instead of sending them back to Baghdad, they brought them all over here and they settled them all over the country.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, of the Nutramedical Report here on Genesis. Allicin's natural antibiotic from Alamax Nutraceuticals U.S. is a real thing. This amazing molecule is a stabilized antimicrobial, antipathogenic killer for fresh, never-before-available garlic. Allicin molecule is biologically active against all bacterial pathogens, viruses, fungi, parasites, TB, and it kills flesh-eating bacteria, MRSA, Acinetobacter infections that ravage our everyday health. Taken daily, it removes these stealth pathogens, clearing our bodies of disease activators that cause chronic health issues, and means a much higher level of wellness for you and your family. Order today for fighting disease, turning on your immune system, activating infection-fighting properties against sinus, lung, bowel, skin, Lyme disease, nail fungus, colds, flu, ringworm, gum disease, diarrhea, athlete's foot, and cholesterol. Secure online ordering is available at NutraMedical.com or call 888-212-8871. That number again, 888-212-8871 for the most powerful natural antimicrobial available.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Americans there, right? Well, let's go on, Craig. You were just mentioning that there were many of these people that had been brought over during immediately after the first Gulf War by the Clinton administration, thousands of Iraqi members of the Republican Guard, and settled in cells all across America. And some of these Iraqi members of the Iraqi Republican Guard were involved in the Oklahoma City bombing. The government knew it and covered up the truth, and is still covering up the truth of what really happened during the Murrah building back in 1995. Pick up the story from there.
Well, you know, when we get into the Oklahoma City bombing case, that thing goes all kinds of different directions. If you start following the different players and find out who they are, where they came from, and what they were involved in, it leads all kinds of different directions. Because just following McVeigh and just following Nichols, we find two very interesting characters that, when we put it all together, it just doesn't add up. Nichols, for instance, made many trips to the Philippines. He went to Cebu City, he went to Manila, he went to several other places in the Philippines, and he met with Ramzi Yosef, who was the 1993 World Trade Center bomber, a guy named Sheikh Khalid Mohammed, who was Osama bin Laden's left-hand man, and a guy named Edwin Angeles, who turned out to be a Philippine Secret Service agent. He was an intelligence agent, and he was in as one of the commanders of Abu Sayyaf. Now, all these guys were involved with Abu Sayyaf, which is the Philippine Islamic terrorist group in the southern Philippines. Nichols met with these guys, and we found statements that had been taken from some of them after they'd been captured later on by the Philippine police about Nichols coming over there and meeting with these guys and wanting to know, you know, how do you build bombs and what do I have to have and so on and so forth. Well, he made enough trips over there and back that we think that it would have cost somewhere between $80,000 and $110,000 in expenses. This guy didn't have a job. Who was paying for it? You know, so we got a serious problem there. But when we try to work that angle, you know, the Janet Reno Justice Department says there is no Islamic connection, period. And so the FBI, they just shut that door and said, okay, we can't look there. We can't go there. And so I did. I mean, there were several of us that weren't, you know, we didn't work for the federal government, so we were kind of loose cannons. We were able to look at a lot of these things and try to bring them to light. But the problem is when you do, you go back and you go to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they don't want to hear it. So if you can't get anybody interested in working the case as it should be worked, then, you know, you're just kind of treading water out there. You're not going to go anywhere with it. But still, you know, informing the American people what happened, you know, don't believe what you see on TV. Don't believe the government's official version, because that's, you know, that's like one-third of what actually happened, and they're leaving out the rest of it. We found out some other interesting things. We found out later on, well, early on, I couldn't understand on day four or five when they raided Nichols' brother's house up in Michigan. I couldn't understand why all of a sudden the media launched this big campaign on the right wing and on the militias and on talk radio. And I mean, they just went off on some tangent as being involved in this bombing case. None of that had anything to do with anything, and I couldn't figure out where this was coming from until later on we found out that it was the Southern Poverty Law Center with Morris Dees and his bunch and Abe Foxman at the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith were the ones instigating the media witch hunt on the right wing and the militias and so on and so forth. Well, that didn't have anything to do with the bombing. But why were they there? Why were they going off on this tangent?
I think, don't you think so much that this is just to mislead the American people away from the truth and to get them the idea of, Timothy McVeigh was a radical extremist right-winger, therefore all right-wingers were responsible, and that's as far as we should go.
Well, that wasn't going to catch the real bad guys. It was taking us away from catching the real bad guys. Well, we found out much later on that it looks like the Southern Poverty Law Center had a direct inside man in Elohim City, where a lot of this stuff was being directed as a false lead. And that inside man, we're pretty sure, was Andreas Strassmeyer.
Sure, he was the German whose father was in German intelligence.
Right, his father was the secretary to Helmut Kohl when Helmut Kohl was Chancellor of Germany, and Andy was a lieutenant in the Panzer Grenadiers assigned to German intelligence.
Right.
And he was brought to this country to infiltrate the neo-Nazis and find out, you know, who's sending stuff to Germany. You know, Germany has laws against having Nazi regalia, Nazi items, Nazi propaganda, and so on. And somebody was bringing all that stuff in there from this country, and he was sent over here to try to find out who that was, and they infiltrated him in through Elohim, well, through Fort Worth first and then Elohim City, and he was going to get hooked up with these various groups, these skinheads and the White Aryan Resistance and all this stuff. And did through a guy named Dennis Mahon out of Tulsa, and Dennis Mahon was hooked up with a radical group of the White Aryan Resistance up in Idaho.
But of course, this whole thing was already being orchestrated by our own government. Certainly, Elohim City. Janet Reno was saying how terrible the Christian Identity Movement was, and this was a Christian Identity Center that was headed by a Reverend Millar, who was a FBI informant. And then, of course, you had, you know, the young lady there who was working for the BATF. I'm sure you remember her name. And then
Carol Howe.
Carol Howe. And then, of course, you know, you had Mahan. And you had so many people. You had Andy Strassmeyer. These were all the key characters in and Elohim said, and they were all working for a different branch of our own government. And they were coordinating this thing with Timothy McVeigh. And they've covered that up every step of the way. They can't let the American people know that they knew exactly what was going to happen on that terrible day, April 19th, 1995.
Well, McVeigh alone, if you just follow him, I was assigned to try to find out where he'd been and who he'd talked to and so on down the line. And started out, he was in the Army, he was at Fort Riley, Kansas, he was Soldier of the Year, he was a sergeant, he had the Bronze Star, he was a veteran of the Gulf War, loved the Army, was going to make a career out of it, then all of a sudden wanted to go to Special Forces School at Fort Bragg. And then you try to follow him to Fort Bragg, and they say, well, he didn't go to Special Operations School because, and then it depends on what day of the week you talk to him, he didn't pass a physical, or his back hurt, or his feet hurt, or, you know, you get a different excuse as to why he didn't go or complete the Special Forces School. When in actual fact, in the Army, before you go to any school that requires a PT test, you take the same test at home station, and you pass it before you ever go there. It's not something you show up and just, you know, hip shoot the thing. And the same thing with Airborne School and Ranger School. You take the test before you go, and you pass before you go. You're going to get it again when you get there, but at least you know you can pass it. Well, and this guy was stout. He wasn't you know, some guy whose feet was going to hurt and he was going to quit, or he's, you know, couldn't carry a pack. He'd already demonstrated he can do all that stuff. So he disappears. Now, they show him as absent without leave, but Fort Bragg says, no, he went back to Fort Riley. Fort Riley says, no, he's at Fort Bragg. And he disappears, and the next thing we know, you know, he's supposedly AWOL, and the next thing we know, he shows up working for Calspan Incorporated up in Buffalo, New York, which is his hometown. And that, and Calspan does, you know, all kinds of government contract work and black operations work where, you know, you're going to have a secret or a top secret clearance to work security for that company.
But I think the most important thing is the letter he wrote to his sister saying, I'm really part of a secret undercover special forces operation involved with illegal activity. Certainly, Terry Nichols has said the same thing. The man who was in prison with him there on death row wrote a book, The Secrets Worth Dying For, something like that. And exactly the same story. They all tell the same story. That actually, of course, Timothy McVeigh was working for a secret unit of our own government.
Well, you know, there's no way that he's going to work at Calspan if he shows up AWOL from the Army. It's just not going to happen. But while he's there, that's when he starts passing out the Turner Diaries and starting his to create his legend of being this right-wing radical that wants to overthrow the government. And everybody's taking notes. What he's doing at this point, all of a sudden, I start seeing through the fog. Because what he's doing at this point is the same thing that Oswald did in New Orleans when he was standing on Camp Street passing out Fair Play for Cuba pamphlets and telling everybody he was a Marxist and got in a fight with a Cuban guy right in front of the television on the street corner because he wanted everybody to see that, look at me, my name's Lee Harvey Oswald, I defected to Russia, I'm a Marxist, I'm pro-Castro. And I mean, no one in the right mind is going to go to New Orleans to do that because they're going to get smacked, you know, they're going to get beat up.
Unless, of course, you're trying to create a myth, unless you're trying to create this impression.
So he's that's called creating a legend, and he's creating this false legend on himself because he was told to. Well, this is the same thing McVeigh was doing up there when he was passing out the Turner Diaries and going to gun shows and doing all these different things. And then he gets hooked up to Andy Strassmeyer. But he didn't get hooked up to Andy Strassmeyer just because he ended up going to the gun show in Tulsa, and one of them had a table there, and they bumped into each other. He was ordered to go to there and meet with this guy, and he knew who he was going to meet before he ever got there. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that gun show that they were at, I was at. And it's the Wanamaker show, and it covers I don't know how many acres inside of a building. It takes all day to walk through it if you don't stop. And there's thousands upon thousands of people that go to this thing. So the chance of these two guys just happen to bump into each other and hit it off, with one at Elohim City and the other one, you know, going around telling everybody, you know, going to all these militia meetings and making a spectacle out of himself and so on and so forth, is ludicrous. It didn't happen. So we know that those guys were tied up together. We know that Nichols was tied up with this bunch, and then Nichols was hooked up with Al-Qaeda by going to the Philippines and meeting with them. We also have another connection that never came out, and that was the connection that went down through Texas into Mexico, and that was the cocaine connection through a guy named Juan Garcia Abrego. And when we found out about Abrego, guess what he was involved in? Iran-Contra. smuggling drugs through MENA, Arkansas when Clinton was governor. So this thing just gets more involved and more involved and more involved.
Well, I think one of the things that really is so convincing to me was the fact that there was a psychiatrist who was visiting Timothy McVeigh in prison. I had this from several sources. His name was Charlie West. I mean, he was the top CIA psychiatrist. Why would he be going to visit Timothy McVeigh, the condemned murderer?
Well, Jolly West was involved with MK-Ultra mind control,
right,
under Sid Gottlieb at the Technical Services Division of the CIA.
He's
the guy that killed an elephant with LSD just to see if it could be done.
A real nice guy. We'll be back in just a moment with Colonel Craig Roberts, and we want to remind you, nothing as it appears to be.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Oh, those summer nights and those summer electric bills. How would you like to save money this summer on your electric bill and sleep better than ever? Well, now you can with the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. The Bedfan will allow you to raise your thermostat several degrees and still sleep cool. This works by delivering a gentle breeze between your sheets, thus keeping your body cool and comfortable. Doug from Austin, Texas writes,
I like it to be very cold while sleeping. Since purchasing the Bedfan, I've been able to turn the thermostat up from 68 to 78 degrees, and I've never been more comfortable. My electric bill this month compared to the same month last year is over 27% lower. I couldn't be happier with your product.
Maybe it is time you started thinking about trying the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. If you're a hot sleeper, you will love it. If you want to lower your electric bill, you will love it too. Go to Bedfan.com and try the remarkable Bedfan yourself. That's bedfan.com or call 210-632-8280. That's 210-632-8280. The Bedfan is on sale for a limited time, so don't delay. Remember, bedfan.com or 210-632-8280.
Just a moment here. Well, This is Dr. Stan and Sydney. Craig has been giving us the background of the MK Ultra mind control programs. And, of course, they were run by Sidney Gottlieb. But Sidney Gottlieb's right-hand man, or one of them, was a Jolly West, Jocelyn West, a psychiatrist working for the CIA. And suddenly he disappears for a time. And then suddenly he reappears, visiting Timothy McVeigh in his cell there. And Timothy McVeigh doesn't want to see Jolly West. He doesn't want anything to do with this guy from the CIA mind control. But Timothy McVeigh is complaining he's got a chip in his buttocks, that the government has put a chip into him. And he brings this up many times. So you pick the story up there.
Well, it was like on day 4 or 5 when I was at the FBI office, they were laughing about that. And they said, this guy, he's acting like he's a prisoner of war. He's only given name, rank, and serial number, and yada, yada, yada. And I found out that Sheriff Mack called me. And he said, I just got word that McVeigh said he would talk to me if I can go see him. And I said, well, I don't see why you couldn't. I mean, I don't know why he couldn't have visitors. And if he's going to talk to you, great, at least he'll talk. And so I went to the FBI office, and because I was assigned to work with him, and I went to there, and I said, I got a guy that can, if McVeigh wants to talk to him, he'll fly in tomorrow and talk to him. He's in Arizona. And they said, no one's going to see him. And he's in solitary and so on and so forth. And they said, besides that, he's crazy. I said, what do you mean he's crazy? What's he doing? And he says, well, he's only saying name, rank, and serial number like he's a prisoner of war and he's on a military operation. And they started laughing. They said, he's even complaining about this chip that's supposed to be in his buttocks. And I said, well, have you run him in front of the jail x-ray machine? And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, well, they exist. Injectable microchips exist, and they use them for different things, everything from identification to positioning to, being able to find you if you're behind enemy lines someplace. And as far as I know, they probably even got some that can actually alter your personality. And they look at me and say, nah, there's no such thing. You've been watching too many X-Files, Well, the next day I brought 3 catalogs to them and showed them where they could buy them. And I said, now, I think you guys really need to go, just run them in front of the jail x-ray machine and see if there's something there, see if there's something to it. And, of course, I never found out one way or the other whether they ever did anything about that. But then here, all of a sudden, later on, Jolly West shows up. And it makes me wonder if he didn't show up to retrieve his chip. I don't know.
We will never know. The one thing we do know is we haven't been told the truth until this very day. Why the FBI refuses to release the videos that were shot in front of the Murrah Building on the 19th of April, 1995, because of the ongoing, continuing investigation of the bombing of the federal building in 1995. And I didn't know they were still investigating it, but that's what they claim. Every time somebody gets a subpoena to get those, or Freedom of Information request, to get those video clips, they always tell the judge, we can't release those pictures, these people want, because of the ongoing FBI investigation.
Yeah, they call it an open investigation or an open case, but yet they say that they've got McVeigh, they've got Nichols, they're done. No one's investigating anything anymore about that case. And Jana Davis took a whole box full of depositions and material and photographs and tapes and all kinds of stuff to them, and they wouldn't even take it. They didn't even want to touch it. And she said, well, if it's an ongoing case, why don't you want evidence of others involved? And Stephen Jones, the same thing. He says, I've got, he had filing cabinets full of information. That during his investigation, he had several investigators. They even went to the Philippines, and they brought stuff back. And the FBI didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to know about it. I see nothing. I know nothing. I hear nothing.
And, of course, they were told not to look any further. Those orders came from Washington.
Right. Well, when you start looking further, all of a sudden you get on a trail that leads through the Iran-Contra affair as well. You're talking cocaine smuggling, you're talking money laundering, you're talking BCCI, you're talking the Clintons being in, governor while the operation was going on in MENA, Arkansas. You're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush, who was vice president to Reagan during Iran-Contra, that seems to have been in control of Iran-Contra. The ground transport guy that was bringing this stuff in through Texas was Juan Garcia Abrego, and Juan Garcia Brego was one of the Iran-Contra characters, and all of a sudden he pops up in the Oklahoma City bombing investigation.
Well, it's amazing how this all fits together, and the tie-in between Waco and what happened there at the Oklahoma City bombing, and the same lawyer who's working on the representing the victims of the Waco tragedy, a man named Kirk Alliance, we suddenly find is involved with Andreas Strassmayer. I mean, why would that be? And why is he representing the legal counsel for Andreas Strassmayer? Who is Kirk Lyon? Many unanswered questions, but nobody, of course, wants to talk about.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, this is Jeff Rentz, and if you're interested in suppressed natural cures and rare exotic remedies, this may be the most important message you'll hear for a long time. There's an opportunity right now for a limited number of listeners to acquire an amazing, blacklisted, naturally occurring compound with very unusual ionic properties. In fact, it's considered the single most important remedy in all of Ayurvedic medicine. Medical studies have been conducted abroad on the effects this rare mineral-like compound has on energy, diabetes, tumors, ulcers, memory, and brain function, not to mention reproductive health, exercise recovery, and arthritis. Because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made. However, it's still quite legal to own this compound, and the best part? My listeners pay nothing down. Simply go to blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Or call 815-259-4552. That's 815-259-4552 for details.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few consumers even know such products exist. This technology is backed by hundreds of thousands of dollars of testing that the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. SFR, the leader in fuel products, has obtained this technology, and we are so convinced you'll notice the savings that we will give you, the loyal GCN listener, a bottle for free. SFR is not an injector cleaner or typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. Just pay a minimal shipping and handling charge. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll even refund the shipping charge. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-USE-SFR1. That's 1-888-873-7371. Today!
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Craig Roberts. But before we go on, Craig, do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out before we continue?
Yeah, the web page is riflewarrior.com. Rifle isn't gun, warrior isn't soldier, all one word, riflewarrior.com. And there's, of course, all my books are there. And then you've got a lot of articles I've written are there, a lot of links to other interesting sites are there. And then, of course, I've got my bio up there and some other items of interest. And now we, you know, the Medusa file is going out of print for various reasons. I just don't have time to deal with it anymore. But we're going to continue to carry the Medusa file in ebook form on the website, so that you know you can download it. It's a PDF file. You'll be able to buy it there. you know, for half price and download it and print it out yourself, read it on your computer, put it on disk, whatever you want. So it's always going to be around. It's just not going to be in hard copy anymore unless you find a used book someplace. We do still have a lot of kill zones left, and that's Kill Zone, a Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza, about the Kennedy assassination. But it actually isn't just about the Kennedy assassination. It goes back to 1773, and it comes forward from there, following the money powers that Kennedy got in the way of and why he was assassinated. And it goes all the way up past the Kennedy assassination through Vietnam and who profited off that and so on and so forth. Has some good information in there. In fact, at one time, the Kill Zone and Medusa File were going to be one book, and they were in one manuscript called Legacy of Dishonor. But I sent it to my agent in New York City, and he took it around to 10 publishing houses, and no one would touch it because of what was in it and the names that I named and the toes that I stepped on in it. So we ended up starting our own publishing company, and of course, since then, we've published several books through the company. But we couldn't publish the whole book all at once, so we pulled out enough to make Kill Zone, and then what was left over later on became the Medusa File. So we ended up doing it in two different volumes. But we did get the information. It is out there. And Killzone is also available as an e-book if somebody would rather have it that way. And, of course, I think you've still got some copies of both left, and they can always order through you.
All right, and there's the other thing. And what about your The Missing Witnesses? Was that the title?
JFK, The Dead Witnesses. I've got that in e-book form now. These are exact copies of the books right down to the cover, table of contents, typesetting, everything. They were scanned. Okay, so... These are the actual books, but they're in e-form, and the reason I did that one, it didn't sell very well. We only had one printing on it, but then it became a rare book, and they were ending up on eBay for $100 or more a piece, which is a total ripoff for a paper-bound book. And so because of that, I put it in e-book form so these people wouldn't go out and try to scalp people charging outrageous prices for this book.
Well, I want to tell our listeners, these are all certainly top-notch books. We still have Medusa File. We still have Killzone. And, of course, you go to Colonel Roberts' website. You can pull them down if you want to. You can buy them from us. We do not have the missing witnesses, the dead witnesses, dealing with the people who all mysteriously died associated with the Kennedy assassination. But, of course, you can get that in e-book form. But vitally important information you won't find anyplace else on so many issues. The rat line, where, of course, the CIA and MI6, British intelligence, actually helped 10,000 Nazis to escape to South America, and Operation Paperclip, where the Nazi scientists were brought to America after the Second World War, and they worked on all sorts of terrible things. And the legacy is still haunting us here today. And the fact that most people have never heard of these things simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Two very important books. Craig, you pick up the story from there.
Well, you know, you brought up Operation Paperclip. We've got a whole section on Paperclip in the Medusa File. And that one case alone is incredible because at the end of the war, you had the British and the Americans and the Russians all racing as fast as they could to capture all the German technology they could get, plus the German scientists and leadership in the industrial end of things, because the Cold War was already starting before World War II was even over with. And we ended up bringing several over here you had guys that had been involved in the Holocaust. They'd been involved in prison camps. They'd been, Dora prison camp outside of Middlework, where they were building the V-2 rocket with slave labor. And they were using the inmates at the Dora prison camp as the slave labor to hollow out this mountain in the Bavarian Alps there and to build these long tunnels and caves and stuff where they put this factory under the mountain to build the components for the V-2 rocket. And they starved these people to death, and there were literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, if not thousands, that were killed there. And the guy that was in charge was a general named Arthur Dornberger. Well, General Dornberger, SS General Dornberger, later ends up coming over to this country. We brought him over here because we wanted him to take over the German rocket team under Wernher von Braun that had been brought over to White Sands with a bunch of captured V-2s. And the German scientists couldn't get along with each other, and they asked von Braun one day, what do we have to do to get you guys to actually start doing some work? And he said, you have to put a German in charge. And they said, well, why can't we put you in charge? He says, no, you have to have an SS general in charge, or someone that they're afraid of and they respect. And Dornberger was over there, and John J. McCloy, who was the High Commissioner of Germany at the time, who came up with the idea of the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials, and he was the head of the State War Navy Coordinating Committee, among other things. Very mysterious character, McCloy. He allowed Dornberger and several other Nazis to be brought over here instead of going to the gallows. Dornberger comes over, he takes over the rocket team. They start producing other types of rockets and rocket engines and so on, and we get a foothold into the space program. And for his reward, they make him the chairman of Bell Helicopter, and just before the Vietnam War started. Then we get into the Vietnam War, and what happens? At the beginning of the war, we're flying five different types of helicopters, and they're made by five different companies. We've got Boeing, Piasecki, Sikorsky, Bell, Hughes. And then after the war gets going, we start losing helicopters. They start replacing all the light helicopters with Bell products only, Bell Helicopter Textron. And we find out, after the war's over, that, the Bell Helicopters sold 6,000 helicopters to the military. They lost 6,000 helicopters, so they replaced them all. That's 12,000 helicopters. Now, we're talking the AH-1 Cobra. We're talking the UH-1 Huey series, and so forth, where all your troop-carrying helicopters became Bell eventually.
Yeah, of course, here's Dornberger. I mean, he's the head of our space program. He's a Nazi killer. He's a Nazi criminal.
Right.
And the average American has never heard that story. And so many of the Nazi criminals were brought to America, and, of course, our CIA worked very, very, very closely with them.
Well, on top of that, after the war, we find out that the controlling interest of Bell Helicopter was a trust that belonged to Lady Bird Johnson.
Right.
And he was president of the United States during the war, and his wife has the trust that has all this money that's being the profits from Bell Helicopter. Then you have McNamara. He's the Secretary of Defense. And at the beginning of the war, we had the M-14 rifle, and it was built by several different contractors, Springfield and Winchester and Remington and so on and so forth, just like the M-1s in World War II. I mean, they were all subcontracted out. Everybody got a piece of the pie. Well, all of a sudden, that stopped. And we got the M-16 rifle in 1967. It was an inferior piece of junk at the time. We called it the humanitarian rifle because it never hurt anybody on purpose except the guy trying to shoot it, And it was all built by Colt Firearms. Now, it was actually invented by a guy named Eugene Stoner, who had a company named Armalite, and it was the AR-15, and he tried to sell it to the government. He first invented the AR-10, which is a 7.62mm or 308. He tried to sell it to the Army. They didn't want it. So later he scaled it down. He ended up selling it to General Curtis LeMay for the Air Force as the AR-15. The Air Force started buying him. They started equipping their security police with the AR-15. Well, later on, the Army ends up buying it. They didn't want it, but McNamara made them buy it, and they ended up with the M-16. They call it the M-16. It shows up over there, but it's only made by Colt Firearms, and Colt was able to buy the manufacturing rights for that weapon, and Stoner was not allowed to manufacture it at Armalite, so he had to sell it to Colt for it to be manufactured, and I'm sure he made some money on it, but the main issue is Colt Firearms. We find out later on the controlling interest of that, of Colt Firearms, was allegedly McNamara, and I tried to research that, so I got a hold of the SEC, and there's some other items out there, too. I go all in, and if you get the book Killzone, I go all into all of these cases in detail. I go into the vehicles that we had, who made the M151 Jeep, Ford Motor Company, who had been working at Ford Motor Company previous to going to Washington, McNamara, and so his old company that he still owned a lot of stock in made the only vehicle, light vehicle, that was being made for the Army at the time in Vietnam, and replacing all the old Jeeps and all the other stuff that they had. All this stuff was happening. So I get a hold of the SEC, and I want to nail this down. And I'm in contact with them. I wrote them a letter. They wrote me back a letter, wrote another letter. And basically I asked. I said, look, all I want to know is who had controlling interest in stock of Chrysler Corporation, Colt Firearms, Ford Motor Company, Colt Firearms, Ford Motor Company, and I named some other companies that built war material.
How about General Dynamics? That was a big one.
Well, I did not. Yeah, that was the F-111.
Right.
And, General Dynamics was in there, and there was a couple of other things, because no one wanted the aardvark, and we ended up buying it because McNamara wanted it. And they wrote back a letter that, they would have to look because that was a long time ago and yada, yada, yada. Now, we've got a government that keeps, technical manuals on how to shoe a 1918 mule. I mean, we have all of this stuff. Well, they don't throw anything away. It's all in archives. They can't find that material. And so I said, wait a minute. You're going to tell me from 1960 to 1973, you don't know who owns the controlling interest at General Motors or, who are the major stockholders at General Motors and Colt Farms and so on and so forth during the Vietnam War? You can't tell me that? Well, finally, I got a phone call, and it was a lady. And she says, I don't know what's going on here, but I've been looking into this. She says, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. She says, all I find every time I go to the files on these different companies is that the records have been removed and destroyed due to some memo that came out about reduction of file space or something. They needed the file space, so they were just going to destroy these records.
It's sort of like what's going on over there in Iraq today, where Halliburton, Dick Cheney's former company, gets all of these non-bid contracts, and then Halliburton pays Dick Cheney a deferred salary. Now, I don't understand a deferred salary that the Vice President of the United States got for many years. I don't know if he's still getting it, but what is a deferred salary? Now, when you go to work for government, could it be a bribe? And even today, by Halliburton, has been charged many times with cheating the government, and nothing ever happens. That's Dick Cheney's company.
Absolutely. And I've talked to people in Iraq, and they tell me, they go to a Halliburton mess hall. The food is terrible. There's not much of it. And they told me what it was costing per meal for this stuff. And it was like $26 for a meal. Even if you didn't eat it, is what the government had to pay. And $26, now that's $77, $78 a day to feed a guy, where it used to cost us $5.20 in the military. So is a ripoff? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, war is big business. Until people understand that, they have to tell the American people something. Well, we're fighting for democracy. We're fighting for freedom. We want, of course, to do away with the terrible Saddam Hussein, because he's evil and wicked, and he really was, but everybody's forgotten. We financed him all during the 1980s. We armed him. We gave him intelligence, and we lent him billions and billions and billions of dollars that all has mysteriously disappeared. And
yeah.
Now we get in over there, and some $9 to $12 billion has just disappeared, and nobody's concerned.
Well, another outfit over there that's interesting is KBR, which is actually Kellogg, Brown, and Root.
Isn't that a subdivision of Halliburton?
Well, I don't know that they're a subdivision of Halliburton or not, but Brown and Root alone, if you go back to the kill zone and read it, you find out what Brown and Root did in Vietnam. Brown and Root built the NASA Space Center in Houston while LBJ was president, because he wanted the money to go there, and he wanted his Brown and Root buddies to get the contract because he was getting kickbacks on it. And in Vietnam, Brown and Root came over, and they were the ones that dredged Cameron Bay when we didn't even need Cameron Bay. And the Vietnamese wanted to do it for, one-tenth the amount of money, and we wouldn't hire the Vietnamese because Brown and Root was going to charge the government, a few billion dollars to do it. Then they also were the ones that got the contracts to lay all the runways at all the air bases, build all the buildings, and so on and so forth. So you had LBJ's, backyard company of Brown and Root involved in that, and then Kellogg evidently buys Brown and Root, and now it's KBR, and they're involved in all the convoys, and they're involved in all of the transportation aspects over in Iraq and Kuwait and all through there. And that company was as dirty as the day is long back during the Vietnam War, and it makes me wonder what's going on today.
And, of course, LBJ had said that he had to borrow money when he first was elected to Congress to get back to Washington, D.C. He was there for, 30 years or more, came back to Texas as one of the richest men, and never did anything but work for government. You wonder how he came to be one of the richest men in all of Texas, just working for government. I guess his wife must have been pretty good at business and investing.
Yeah, more than likely. She probably went to the same school that Hillary Clinton did on investing in whatever it was that she made, $100,000.
Cattle futures. She made $100,000 in cattle futures. Why, nobody ever made $100,000 in cattle futures, but the 19 out of 20 investments she made were paid off big. So I guess she's pretty smart. Somebody once said maybe we ought to let a Hillary or a Hadley investment for the government. She could probably pay off the national debt.
Well, you know, I mean, she ought to have Alan Greenspan's job.
Right. And, of course, basically it's all corruption and graft. Isn't it amazing we never even mentioned that today, now that she's running for the presidency?
Well, if the truth be known on some of the stuff that the Clintons have been involved in, they should probably both be in prison. But you can't get... Who's going to watch the watchers? Who's going to investigate their own bosses?
Well, I think George Bush said it best when he became president. He said, let's move on. Let bygones be bygones.
Right.
And then, of course, his father is such a good friend of Bill Clinton's, and they travel the world together, and just gives you that warm feeling. And then we go from one Bush administration, the Clinton administration, to the next Bush administration, and who knows, maybe then the second Clinton administration.
Well, when Bill Clinton, as soon as I heard that Bill Clinton had gone to Oxford, I knew what was going on. Because now that means he was involved with a roundtable group.
Right, sure. And it was part of the Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, and that's how, of course, you get ahead in the world. That's how you become the President of the United States. But most people don't understand the relationship between the roundtable, between the Oxford University and, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations, that truly is America's invisible government. Our guest has been Craig Robertson. Riflewarrior.com?
Correct. Riflewarrior.com.
Get Craig's material and some of the best material you'll find in the country. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle of the Nutramedical Report. I'd like to introduce you to an amazing central breakthrough product called Nutritrala, the time-release alpha-lipoic acid, the very first master super antioxidant in the world. In many countries, this has now been released in the last few months as literally a drug. It is not. It is a long-acting form of the recycler of all your antioxidant systems in your body to protect your DNA, your mitochondria, and your energy production in your cells. If you want to protect your cells, if you want to lower tissue insulin resistance,
If you want to protect your DNA and your mitochondria, the most important, powerful protectant available now is Nutritrala. N-U-T-R-I-T-R-A-L-A. You can purchase at 888-212-8871 or securely online at Nutramedical, N-U-T-R-I-Medical.com, bringing you solutions for life. Take care and listen to the Nutramedical Report Monday to Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. and Sunday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. here on Genesis Network.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just hope you enjoyed our program with Craig. If you'd like to get the entire program or some of our earlier programs with Craig, a tremendous source of information if you're interested in getting his books, Medusa File or A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. Both are still available from Radio Liberty, and they won't be much longer because once these are gone, they're gone forever. But you can also go up on his website and pull them down in the form of e-books. Sydney and I prefer having the original copy, and this is why we'll keep them here as long as we can. But you have to understand that we've never been told the truth about what happened in Waco. We have a wonderful video. It's called Waco into Revelation. We'll actually see the interviews with people who talk to the Special Forces people. Special Forces, American soldiers sent in to kill the women and children. If you'd like to see it, it's called A New Revelation. When those are gone, they're gone. And then, of course, we still have the four tape sets on what really happened as far as the Oklahoma City bombing. We have a number of four tape sets on what happened on 911. 911, 911 update is very, very good. And then, of course, why did the buildings come down? And you must understand that we have not been told the truth. And we actually have five DVDs or videos on this subject, and they will give you the background of what happened that day. How could it be that those buildings fell at the speed of gravity? There would be resistance. And why did Building 7 come down at 5:20 in the evening? And why did the center of the building collapse inward? And then, of course, the base of the building collapsed spontaneously. That was a controlled demolition. Look at the pictures. And if it was a controlled demolition, how did Osama bin Laden do that? Or maybe we haven't been told the truth. Well, we do hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, because if we've been lied to about anything that happened that day, we've been lied to about everything. And I would simply ask you to get a picture of the crash site of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where Flight 93 went down. And all you see is a big hole in the ground. There's no tail of the plane, no wings of the plane, no fuselage, no wreckage, no bodies, no luggage. The only thing they found there was an open Bible, a partly burned copy of the passport of one of the hijackers. And then there's a debris field of about 8 miles, where several miles away they find one of the engines from the plane. How could that be if we're told what they're telling us the truth? The plane just nosed over and drove into the ground. And I'd like to suggest they've lied about every part of what happened that day at Shanksville. Look at the pictures and ask yourself, am I going to believe my lying eyes, or am I going to believe what the government tells me? And if you do not believe what the government tells you, then you need to understand that maybe that explains why we're not guarding the southern border, why we're not trying to keep any terrorists out of this country, why the government seems to be much more concerned about watching the American people than stopping terrorism, why we've never tried to get Osama bin Laden, why we let him escape. And of course, there's so much of the story that we're not being told. You can certainly go to our website, radioliberty.com, and pull down many of our videos are up on our website. And then, of course, get our four tape sets. Get my newsletters. They're all there at radioliberty.com. Read them and study them and go through them and get all the documentation. Is this really true? And I really believe that we are moving into very, very difficult times. The next step is to be plunged into a war with the Islamic world. And it's only a matter, I believe, of months before we have war with Iran and Syria. and the price of oil is at $100 to $150 a barrel, and the gasoline is $6 a gallon. Well, we'll wait and see. Remember our October 28th conference, all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area. We hope you can come. Give us a call. 1-800-544-89.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.